informative, and engaging.
Rick Munn.
Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Here we go. Wednesday, 21st of September, 2022. TNT Radio, locked and loaded. Yes, Rick Munn is back on the mic again. We have a barnstormer of a show, I believe, coming up for you people today. As usual, we try and deliver a little bit of drama, lots of truth, and a little bit of black humor as well, because you know our mantra here: if you don't laugh, you cry. On the menu today, let me say, on the menu today, later on in the show, I have Dr. Ermi Ray, beaming back into TNT Towers from Paris, France. I have Basil Valentine beaming in from England in the UK. And hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll be joined out of the blocks today by my old friend Ed Cooper, a.k.a. Rise Melbourne, who will be joining me from, funnily enough, Melbourne. And speak of the devil, and he shall appear. Ed has just popped up on my screen visually, and we're trying to connect with him audibly. But that's not for you to worry about, because I have to give you a little rundown on what's happening in the world right now. The Queen, obviously, is dead and now buried. So life must go on. And Liz Truss, the new Prime Minister, who has been sidelined somehow over the last week or two with the events of the Queen's death and the fallout from that, is now taking centre stage. On the globalist stage, that is, the world stage, and now is urging world leaders to follow the UK with trickle-down economics. So she's starting to talk about money, and she's starting to talk about foreign policy. She's starting to talk about support, military support for the ongoing proxy war against Russia in the Ukraine that NATO are fighting. She has defended the plans to lift a cap on bankers' bonuses. So bankers in the UK aren't particularly a very liked class of workers. They're famed for making huge amounts of money while the rest of us suffer and scrimp and save. And she has decided to lift a cap on the bonuses that they're paid on an annual basis. And bankers usually receive a salary, a high salary, but they make the lion's share of their cash in annual bonuses, usually around about Christmas time. So when you are counting the pennies and trying to put a turkey on the table and buying presents for your kids and working out how far your cash will stretch over the festive period, the bankers are receiving their annual bonuses. And yeah, they are usually six, sometimes seven figures, and there's going to be no cap on them now, thanks to Liz Truss. So she's defending her position. And we covered some of this yesterday. She has said that she doesn't care if she's unpopular. That's not what she's all about. And let me tell you this, she was never popular before she became PM. And I would dare say it's not going to take too long for her to convince anybody that was behind her to realize what she's actually all about. Something else that she's proposed is an emergency stamp duty cut in an emergency budget. What does that mean, you may be wondering? Well, stamp duty is something that you pay when you buy a house. So it's a tax that you pay when you buy a house. You know, it adds to the cost of the house purchase, and she's reportedly going to cut that going forward. However, the housing market in the UK is stagnating, and the house prices are starting to drop, and the cost of living is increasing, and interest rates are going up. So the actual amount of people that will be committing to house purchases, I would say, over the next 6 to 12 months will be markedly less. So it's a token gesture that won't have any real bearing on the finances of the people in the United Kingdom. A few people may benefit from this, but if you're thinking of buying a house right now, in the UK or pretty much anywhere in the world, I would say you need to be very, very cautious because the ass is going to fall out of the property market. And that's just not me that thinks that. Most financial analysts will agree. And anybody that I've had on the show here that is either fund managers, venture capitalists, professors of critical theory, they're all saying the same thing. Watch out. Don't buy at this point in time because the market could well crash. And if you're listening in Australia, you know all about high house prices over there. So don't get yourselves burnt and don't get yourselves caught out. So Liz is prepared to go against voters' views on tax, but her plans carry huge economic and political risk. You know, that's not something that maybe people want to hear right now. They don't want to have risk at this point in time. They need a little bit of stability. But Liz doesn't care. Remember, she's not out to make friends. So she's a bit like me in that respect. I'm not out to make friends. I'm out to tell the truth, but she's out to destroy the world. However, we're going to get into some of the nitty gritty in a moment. Just to let you know that we have an app that's available on the App Store, the Google Play Store, TNT Radio, and also streaming. We're streaming right now on YouTube, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, all the major streaming platforms, and obviously through our website, which is tntradio.live. So spread the word, get the word out there, be proactive, be a supporter, and help us to conquer the world and to deplatform the globalists here on TNT Radio.
The stories affecting you.
They cover the important stories.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Mr. Edward J. P. Cooper. How the hell are you, sir?
Good, mate. Yourself? How's it audio there, Rick? Can you hear me properly?
Yeah, man, I can hear you just fine. Yeah, all good. Your end? Yep.
Beautiful. How are you, mate?
I'm good, man. I'm laughing a lot at the minute. You know, I probably shouldn't be, but you know us. We laugh a lot, don't we? And I mean, like last week, you and I had quite a show. We laughed a lot. People don't know some of the things we were laughing at, but we laughed, didn't we? And if you don't laugh, mate, you're going to cry. That's as simple as that. So I'm not going to cry. Are you going to cry? Are you going to cry? Are you? Or are you going to laugh?
Now, look, Rick. It is. It's getting to that stage. It's well, look. To be honest, if you could flip either side, basically, you could cry, but you know, you just got to take a step back and look at the situation. It's quite funny, to be honest. It is, and you know, I was just looking back.
Chris, man.
It is. It's crazy. And I was just looking back. I'm going to post it tonight. Actually, I went through some old clips. I don't know if you remember September 21, 2021, the big tradie rallies, that moment in Australia where we had those, you know, we had about 30,000 tradies in the city. That was our moment.
Yep.
And looking back now, seeing, you know, because at that stage there were some hectic scenes. There was police, there was armoured vehicles on the road and people were scared, you know, but looking back now at all the stuff they've done since then and it's been all bluff, that, you know, it really hits home that was our moment. That was our one big moment. I truly believe if we had just stuck at it, we were there for 3 days. If we'd stuck out there for about 10 days, closed the construction industry, I think that was the moment that might have flipped the narrative in Australia. And looking back now, you know, with all the bluff, we've seen it was all bluff. If those tradies had that chance again, I think they would kept out going there for a couple of weeks and brought Victoria to its knees. But, you know, as they say, it's history, man. They didn't pick that moment. Now 20% of their friends are gone.
Sad you fact. Know, right off the bat, we have been clear. You don't need to fight. You don't need to smash windows. You don't need to burn places to the ground. You just need to either take strike action or get together and say no in enough numbers for long enough, and they must crack. The globalists would crack. They haven't got enough people to reinforce what they want to do, and they can't afford for the entire society to grind to a halt. And strike action, non-violent, non-compliance over a prolonged period of time has always been the solution to this problem. But we've had little flare-ups here and little flare-ups there, and then they've petered out and people have went home. And I get that. People have lives to live. However, your future and my future absolutely depends on this. So, you know, you got to take a hit sometimes. You know, when you're fighting, I don't know if you've ever been in a fight before, you know, a street fight. But, mate, you got to take a few slaps to give a few slaps. You know what I mean? No one comes out unscathed. So, you know, exactly. you get marks in your face. You might get your nose busted, lose a tooth or two, maybe worse than that. But you got to expect that because you're in a fight. And people need to understand that they're in a fight and they need to take a few hits here and there and not, you know, hold their hands up and say, okay, I'm off. You know, and we're all the same. You know, I'm the same too, but I'm prepared to. You know, I'm at the point now where I'm prepared to do whatever I've got to do, mate. I have nothing to lose. And yeah, I really don't. My freedom and my future, my family's future is at stake here. And if we don't stand up and put a break on this, you know, there is nothing worth hanging around for. It's just a life of slavery. And I don't want to be a slave. Do you want to be a slave? Do you?
It is. No, you're right, Rick. And that's that, you know, as I said, looking back now, all the people you speak to, they say they wish they didn't comply because it was all bluff. And, you know, you'll see when I post those videos later tonight, mate, that was truly the day. It does. It makes me almost think, well, you know, what if, you know, that it was brilliant. Uh-huh. And you'll see tonight I'll post those videos, brings back a lot of memories, and it was all bluff, mate. And now those people would be, they'd be turning, mate. And, you know, again, as I said, you know, probably – at least 10% of their mates are dead, guaranteed, because we know that that's what's happening now. So, I think if they had that chance again, you know, it's a shame that it didn't go on. That was the moment.
You know, the whole business of compliance versus non-compliance, right? This is a true story. This happened to me this morning. Listen to this. This is real. This happened to me. I go into this place to get a coffee this morning, and I always get my coffee in a takeaway cup, right? And here's a little tip for all you people out there. Always get your coffee in a takeaway cup, even if you're sitting in. Why? Number one, it keeps it warm for longer. And number two, you actually get more coffee in it. So if you get a regular cup versus a regular takeaway cup, you'll always get more coffee in the takeaway cup and it'll stay warm for longer. So that's a little bit of common sense, all right? A little bit of a coffee hack for any of you people out there that buy coffee. But anyway, I go into my establishment this morning. And they know what I'm going to order, and they know I want it in a takeaway cup. And they said, I'm sorry, but we can't give you a takeaway cup today. And I said, why not? And they said, because we have no plastic lids. All right, we got no plastic lids. I said, so what? I take the lid off when you give it to me and drink the damn coffee. What's the problem? I said, health and safety. We cannot hand you a cup of coffee to take away in a cup unless we put a plastic lid. So if you want to wait until 9 o'clock when we get our plastic lids, you can get your takeaway. And I said, what are you, is this a joke? And they said, no, we're serious, health and safety. So there's a guy and a girl. The guy is like, we can't do it. It's not allowed. We can't do it. And I said to the girl, come on, are you serious? And she goes, listen. And she points up and she says, the CCTV cameras, look, and she points all around the store, said, if they see us giving you a coffee in a takeaway cup with no lid on it, we could lose our jobs. And they were terrified. So what do? They pour it to me in a normal cup with no lid on it and hand it to me. Mate, I don't know about you. I'm a bit of a rule breaker. And sometimes I break rules on purpose just because they're so stupid. But these pair were actually terrified. They're broken. They were afraid to hand me a takeaway cup without a plastic lid because A, it's the company policy, B, they're following health and safety rules, and C, they're being watched on CCTV and they're afraid. Is this not just an illustration of how this is a broken, beaten down, cracked and subservient society that we're in on the whole? This is what we're dealing with.
And that's the issue, Rick, is that people have a fear of, I don't know what you could say, they have a fear of giving everything they've got and fighting against something. I don't know. I don't understand what it is, but it's very simple. It's a game of numbers. We've got so many people. And we know, even though, you know, we might have 30, 40% on our side at the moment, trust me, there's another 30%. They're just scared. Yep. All they have to do is get to that 70. I mean, we've said this already. You don't even need 70%. But if we all got together, they can't stop us. They are not going to get the army and come down and shoot us with jets. And people need to get that kind of mentality out of their head. And just exactly, you know, you're not. And I'll tell you, it did. It brought back some emotions, Rick. When you said that video tonight, my word, there was at least 30,000. I was there. I filmed it. You can hear me screaming in the background. It was brilliant, mate. It was
I remember you going to that, actually. I remember speaking to you the night before you actually went. Was that last September?
It's already 1 year, mate. It's actually the anniversary today. I'm going to post it tonight. Rick, it was epic. And, you know, the one thing, I was looking at that video, and they started the chant, and they said, F to jab, F to jab. Uh-huh. And they said every day, they were going to stay there until it stopped. They went for 2 days, mate. They got scared. And all they had to do was go for an – I'll tell you now, Rick, if that went for 2 weeks, that would have cost the Victorian government, because they're building some big tunnels here. That would have cost them – I don't even know. We're talking 100 million maybe. It would have closed down the system. But not only that, it would have had repercussions Australia-wide. Uh-huh. It would have been all over – it was on the news, but it would have shown that people have had enough, and it would have inspired others to jump on board.
Yeah, it could have caught on and spread, and, of course, that's what they don't want. They don't want people to see. They don't want people to get inspired to rise up and say no and non-comply and just say we've had enough. They don't want to see that. Hence the constant silencing that we're seeing on the media. Two things, actually. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back – you know, this whole business of they will crush us if we resist. Trust me, from what I'm seeing at the minute, and I'm going to break down some news items from the UK and from Spain, things that I've seen, the cops, today's cops, generally worldwide, they ain't going to suppress anything. You know, and I'll get into what I mean by that when we come back. You've maybe seen some of these clips, and this is not disrespecting the cops. I'm just saying what I see. I'm just saying what I can see with my own two eyes here. The cops should be more worried than us, because if people do get nasty, and I hope they don't, they mostly are ill-prepared to deal with it. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. But let's discuss it when we come back after these short ads here on TNT Radio.
Politically incorrect on TNT Radio.
Because you're a Canadian, James, you would have noticed yourself, I'm sure, there's been a slight change in the Conservative Party in Canadian politics recently. What can you tell us about that?
Poilievre is now the official opposition leader for the Conservative Party, the Tories, and he's made all sorts of noises that I like. He said that the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation is so one-sided that he's going to significantly defund it. And after he won the election, he said, I'm not backing down from that. He said that the governor of the Bank of Canada, like our governor of the Reserve Bank, so badly mishandled the printing of money and COVID that person will be fired on the first day that Poilievre gets elected. And of course, the establishment hates that. Before he was made leader, he marched with the truckers in their protest against the heavy-handed thuggish lockdown rules. So, of course, they hate that. So he's actually put some skin in the game in terms of standing up for a certain amount of freedom.
Politically Incorrect with Mike Tennessee and Richard Carson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
On the day that he was inaugurated, the Washington Post had an article on impeaching him.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
They had an absolute legitimate meltdown.
If you try to change a system that big, the system fights back.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
I actually became infuriated that someone had allowed Zuckerberg to tip the scale.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided.
This was the greatest billionaire assault on election integrity we've ever seen.
A billionaire-funded plot against the president.
Do you believe that they used the COVID emergency as an excuse to pull this partisan voter turnout operation?
Am I allowed to give you a one-word answer? Yes.
Rigged.
It was a rigged election. people have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
Democracy is under attack. Western governments are trying to regulate the internet to shut down free speech. The Australian government has partnered with Twitter, Google, Apple, Meta, Facebook, TikTok, and Yahoo to regulate what Australians can and can't say on the internet. Disagree with what government is saying, and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties. To find out more, go to digi.org.au. Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, scenario. Everything kicks off in Melbourne. Everything kicks off in Sydney. Everything kicks off in London, and so on and so forth. All right. It is kicking off in places in the world big time now, and the cops cannot contain it. There's simply too many people who are too angry and too violent. The cops don't know what to do. And that's a fact. Okay. They can't contain it and they can't suppress it. There's different types of police. Some of them are highly trained firearms officers. Some of them are highly trained tactical SWAT team types or riot squad types with body armor and, you know, in various weapons that they can use against us. But the vast majority of cops are not. They're just doing their job on the streets. And what I've seen this week, footage after footage after footage of public order offences that the cops simply cannot control. There was a stabbing, unfortunately, in London, where two police officers were stabbed by a knife-wielding maniac. That was the headline. I saw the video of it. Four cops surrounded this guy and tasered him to the ground. He pulled out the wires from the taser, jumped to his feet with a knife, and then proceeded to stab two of them, then took six of them to jump on him and call for backup and four squad cars to arrive at. There was literally a 10-man pylon to try to control this one dude, okay? I don't know. I understand if you've ever, anyone's ever attacked you with a blade, it's a little bit frightening. I understand that. But you should be at least trained to know what to do in that kind of a situation. And certainly it should not take 10 people to subdue said offender when they've got tasers and they've got truncheons and other pepper spray and mace, all right? Two cops in Spain I saw trying to arrest an African migrant. Mate, they were slapping the guy. They were slapping him in the, you know, slapping him in the arms and slapping him here. And he was beating the tripe out of them, even when they pulled out their truncheons and started hitting him. He just walked through it. He was killing these two dudes with his bare hands, right? They were terrified, terrified. There's ethnic violence kicking off in Leicester in the UK, Muslims versus Hindus. They're just doing whatever the hell they like. Mobs of them walking the streets shouting their slogan, burning down temples. The cops are standing there. Little girls are standing there in police uniforms with a dog. One dog in between like 400 lunatics. I'm going, please go home. Please don't. Please step back. Mate, it's not looking good. It's not looking good.
And that's the thing, Rick, as I said, you know, like that again, I'll go back to that September, there was about 20 or 30,000 people. There wasn't enough cops, mate. They just had one or two, or maybe there was three armoured cars, but they're not. The fact is they're not going to shoot you. They might shoot a couple of rubber bullets, who knows, but it's not going to kill you. Or, again, we've got to stress, all you have to do is just stop complying. And I don't understand why people have this fear. And there's a lot of people, you see it on the online as well. You know, when we're telling people to rise up, there's a group of people who are on our side and they keep saying, but that's exactly what they want. Uh-huh. Well, that's what they want. They want us to rise. Well, what are you meant to do? Uh-huh. We're not saying to grab pitchforks. We're saying to keep it peaceful and get the numbers. That's all it takes. Exactly. And if we can.
And we're not anti-police per se. You know, there's been a lot of heavy-handed rogues and evil, wicked sociopaths that are in the police force, as with all professions, that are hell-bent on making people's lives hell. Yes, that's a fact. But the point that I'm trying to make is that these cops, if things do kick off and we don't want to see it happen, we don't want to see anyone getting injured, they are in deep trouble. Because they 100%. Don't understand how to defend themselves and how to police things. Because you know why? Diversity. Wokeism. All right. See where I live? Back in the day, if you wanted to join the cops, you had to be at least 6 feet tall if you were a guy. At least 6 feet tall and not fat. Right? No fatties. and no short asses. So I could not have joined the cops, right? They would have looked at me and went, you're short and fat. Piss off, all right? What are you going to do if things kick off? They need big, strong dudes. Now, that's not right. They shouldn't discriminate because you're fat and short. No, they should, because if you're out there trying to protect public order, they need to have a physical overwhelming presence. That's right across the board. But now it's like, welcome everyone. Welcome everyone. It doesn't matter if you're fat. It doesn't matter if you're 4 foot tall. It doesn't matter if you're wearing a dress and you're a man. We want you in the police. We want you to go to our parades and do the Macarena. We want you to twerk. We want you to twerk with the people. Yeah, see where that gets you when the rats start.
It's true. And you know what the funny thing is, Rick, is it's all inclusive now, and they let everyone in and whoever they want. And the fact is that, but they didn't let us have our own say about our own medical, you know, bodily autonomy. Yeah. And that's what I really don't understand. And, you know, I'll give you an example. Have you seen what happened? Everything's woke now. Did you see what happened in Australia today? Have you heard what happened with the AFL?
No, not yet. I tell you what, actually, tell me, we got to take a quick news break. It's only 30 seconds. Let's do that. And then straight after we come back, tell me the AFL business, okay, as soon as we come back after this super short news break here on TNT Radio.
Darren Metzer here with a look at your TNT headlines. For the first time since World War II, Russia has ordered the immediate partial mobilization of its military reservists to defend the motherland. Hurricane Fiona has intensified into a Category 3 storm, and could reach Category 4 strength, after devastating parts of Puerto Rico. And hundreds of whales have washed up on a stretch of coast in the Australian state of Tasmania.
For all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Okay, AFL story, give it to me.
Well, this is just to show you the stupidity, Rick. So there's an incident happened, I believe, in about 2018. They brought it up only today, so 4 years later. Look, it's a bit the story is a little bit disturbing. What was told was an Aboriginal player, so it's irrelevant really whether he's Aboriginal or not. He's Aboriginal, though. Mm-hmm. He was told by the coach. Sorry about that. He was told by the coach. I'm really sorry.
First time you've ever choked up on her, mate. I can tell this is a difficult time for you, and the story maybe is affecting you. Just take your time, breathe deeply, and you just compose yourself. Just take your
time. Sorry about that, Rick. So what's happened is the coach was a really strict coach, and he told the players, he told all the players, he said basically no more going away on the weekends to see your family, et cetera, we need to really focus on football. Now, he said that to a multitude of different players of different races. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But to this one Aboriginal player, and his name is Rioli, he said to him, Rioli came to him with an issue, and I believe it was something about he's having some troubles because he got a girl pregnant or et cetera. And the coach said, look, you know, it's out there, mate. It's pretty disturbing what he said to him. He said, we can get the girl an abortion. You can come and live with us, get a new number and get rid of the girl. So, look, it's unacceptable. But somehow, because he was Indigenous, they've made it, they're saying it's racist. Now, it's not racist.
He would have said that to you. He would have said that to you if you were there.
So, is that racist because I'm Italian? I'm Italian background. That would have been right. It's just saying this is a problem. And, again, this is what we're seeing, you know. It's this constant trying to get everyone against each other, the division and people just got to seriously wake up, mate. This is what they're doing. It's like, that's crazy. That is not racist. That is just saying it's disturbing. There's no doubts about it, but that is not racist.
The racist card, Ed,
it's crazy.
The racist card is played in every instance that people are losing an argument or that the truth is being told.
Exactly.
So the main one in the UK at the moment, in Ireland, is immigration. So if you're against immigration, you're a racist, all right? So I'm not a racist by any stretch of the imagination, and I've went over why many, many times before, and I'm not going to do it again, all right? There's people flooding into Ireland at the minute. For example, they're supposed to be Ukrainians, and they're actually Somalians. So they're taking over leisure centers and putting hundreds and hundreds of Somalians into Ireland. And the Prime Minister, the Taoiseach, said, hey, there's no limit. we're just no limit on who we're going to bring into this country. There's no place to put them. They're sticking them into housing, leisure centres, closing them down to the public and sticking like bunk beds in there and housing Somalian refugees, for example. Not vetted. They won't be working. They probably don't speak English and they're milling around in gangs of 200, right? So I don't care if they're black or white or green or blue or they're from Somalia or from Poland or from Victoria, Melbourne, Victoria. I don't want them in my neighborhood. I don't know who they are. There's nowhere to put them. They're not going to work. They're milling around outside my house, looking at me, giving me funny looks. Is that what you want? That's not racism. That's using your brain.
That's not racism. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly, they're doing this deliberately, Rick. So this whole immigration push has been, we said this a while ago, I think on one of our first shows, they've been pushing this since about 2000. Yep. Heavy immigration all over the world. And there's only one reason they're doing it. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. It's not to help people out. It's to cause division because they understand there's going to be people like me, like you, who say, hang on a second, there's no infrastructure here. There's not enough jobs. I can't even get a job. I can't even get a second job if I want. First, look after Australians and then bring in who, look, once everyone's looked after, I've got no problem.
Yeah.
But then you see they've now classed us as a racist, Rick. And this is why they've done it. They know that it's going to, if they spread out the population all over the world, what it does, it makes every country desperate. Mm-hmm. And you know, when there's desperate people, hungry people, there's going to be violence. And this is it what we're saying. Off. They are trying. Exactly. And that's what they're trying to
and
do.
And then what will happen is, the indigenous people of whatever country will be focusing on the immigrants who will all be collected in a group. And then you will say, yeah, it's white against black. It's Muslim against Hindu. It's this against this. And they'll be playing race cards. They'll be playing every card. Exactly. When in fact, they engineered it to begin with. Like in Australia, for example, I covered this yesterday. They're saying, you know what? We need to bring in so many people from overseas because there's a lack of, what's the word they use? Skilled labor. There's a lack of skilled labor in Australia. So we need to import it in from overseas. We need to bring people in from overseas. What kind of offensive thing is that to say to the people of Australia, to say you people aren't good enough to do your own job, so we need to bring in foreign labor? I mean, like, is that not meant to hack off Australians?
Well, Rick, the issue is, I just saw some further figures today. It's because people are dying, mate. So they've almost got to have to because if you look on the job sites at the moment in Australia, the job bulletins, mate, it's full of jobs. Like you could actually, and I'll give you an example. I looked at a job last week just to look at it. I kid you not, and I just applied for the hell of it. You won't believe this, mate. This is going to shock you. So I applied for the job. Within 15 minutes, I got a call, and I thought it could not possibly be. Not 15 minutes later. Anyway, I received the call. I spoke to the lady. She gave me a 15-minute chat, and she goes, you'll hear from us soon. And I kid you not, within another 7 minutes, I got another call back or trying to organise an interview. That's how bad things are. So within 22 minutes, I got a call, spoke to the lady and got offered an interview. That's how desperate things are here. And, you know, we've seen it.
Here's another angle. Africa has one of the lowest vaccination rates on the planet. Almost no one took it, right?
Of course.
Now, if they want someone to stay in a job, all right, you're probably better going to Africa because no one out there took it. Those people just said, screw you and screw your vaccine. They burnt the vaccines in the medical centers. They torched the medical centers. And in fact, they even closed down the manufacturing plants in Africa because the people just burnt them to the ground, right?
Exactly.
So the highest rate of survival in the last few years, and almost none of them, I mean, I have friends in Africa that I'm in communication with, and I say to them in Uganda and Kenya, so what about the vaccine? And they went, it's the devil's poison. It's the devil. None of them will go anywhere near it. And you know what? It saved their asses.
It's crazy. Did you see the EU? So European Union's lost about, in July, nearly 60,000 excess deaths.
Yes.
And 60K. Iceland, remember Iceland was the highest vaxxed country in the world? Iceland is 55%, mate.
Above and beyond what's normal. And you know what? Those figures are rising, right? They're rising. It's not capped. That 60K figure, if we look at it again in a month and 2 months, I guarantee you, see by Christmas time, I shudder to think what the excess deaths figures will be for the EU. And that 55% figure in Iceland, they could be saying it's 75%, it's 80%, it's doubled.
It's, you know, crazy.
It's going to happen. It's going like this. It's on its way up.
It's on its way up now, Rick. And we're only at the start. You know what I mean? To be honest, we're only about, what are we, just over a year in? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, roughly in Australia, we're about a year. You guys might be 4 months ahead, mm-hmm. so maybe 16, 17 months. But, mate, that's not even – remember what they told us? We saw some videos at the start of this whole pandemic at the start, and, you know, I'm not a big fan, but, you know, there's someone like Dolores Cahill. She said within 2 to 5, we haven't even hit
3 to 5 years, everyone.
Well, I'll tell you now, from everyone's what I've seen so far – I didn't expect to be this far ahead. I was expecting maybe 5 to 10% max. We're pushing 20 now.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't sound like much, you know, but what? That means.
Yeah, she was bang on. And I remember that was one of the first things I heard was that, listen, this is evil, this is wicked, and anyone that takes this, to be honest, within 3 to 5 years, realistically, will be dead. And then, of course, everyone flocked out and took the jab and said, hey, I got mine last week and I'm not dead. I got mine 2 months ago and I'm not dead. Yeah, you got to give it time. You got to give it time to bid in. And you know what's ironic here? This is no joke. I have a guy that I get on regularly from Mexico, and he said, at the minute, you talk about immigration, you know, the Mexicans crossing the border to get to California. Well, the Californians are now crossing the border going to Mexico, because it's better for them to leave the U.S. and go to Mexico than the Mexicans to come from Mexico and go to the U.S. There's people flocking over the border from California into Mexico, and the Mexicans are starting to go, this is ridiculous. These people are taking our jobs and buying all our houses up. These are American citizens getting out of Gavin Newsom's fascist dictatorial state, which is known as California, or Californication, as someone once called it. Listen, mate, you see, this time next year, you and me could be in sub-Saharan Africa in some shack somewhere going, you know what, we couldn't take it anywhere. This is the safest place on earth. Let's flee to Africa. Let the Somalians come here. We'll go to Somalia. I think that's the way
we're going. Mate, I'll tell you what, I've got a lot of friends that have gone. Well, when I say a lot, I've got probably at least 10 friends that I've met online. They've all gone to Nicaragua, Mexico, even Thailand, because they're not forcing it on people. So that's what you're going to start to see a lot of. And yeah, and it is unfortunate, because it's not fair really for the people that live there and, you know, make a couple of dollars an hour versus, but this is what's happening. They've got no choice because the government's pushing it around. And again, the government's loving that as well. They want you to move out and, you know, go and destroy other countries. That's what they want. Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, and all joking aside, you know, I don't know about you, but it's arguable you can leave here, go somewhere else. If they get what they want to get, it's going to affect everywhere. But there's definitely pockets on planet Earth at the minute that are certainly less nutty than, for example, Australia's bad, Canada's bad, New Zealand, Israel, bad. The UK is going to get a lot worse now that Liz Truss is in. But somewhere like Africa, they have, believe me, they have their struggles there too. But if I needed to, someone has told me there's a place for you here in Mexico if you want to move across. And I have a friend in Kenya and another one in Uganda, one in Tanzania. If I need to, man, I can up sticks and leave. However, it will bring its own set of challenges too. I need a good internet connection for starters. Otherwise, I'll have no job. So if I need to, I can go to a hut somewhere in the Sahara. As long as I can get connected to TNT radio, hey, I'm good to go. But listen, who knows where we'll be in a year, mate? Who knows?
Well, look, Rick, I keep telling people that, you know, I've got a lot of friends that are trying to say they want to leave, that do this, go out interstate. That's what they want. You got to stay here and fight.
Yeah.
You know, there's no point running, because I say eventually.
I have no passport. I don't even have a passport, yeah, man. I can't leave the country if I want to. I don't want to. I'm putting my roots down here. I'm going to fight.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, get people to come on your side, because if you keep moving around, or what that happens, just keep going, mate. You just got to get your local people and just say F off, Rick. It's very simple, man. I really don't understand how simple this is, that we can't understand that history shows if you put your hand up, push people away, say, I'm not doing that, we're not going to listen, and you get as many people as you can, it just works. It's history shows it. It's happened before.
It does. It's body language too. You know, when you walk down the street, just say you're walking down the street, there's people you look at and you think, I'm not going to mess with them. Not because just the way they carry themselves, the look in their eye. Other people are walking around, you know, with their shoulders slumped forward and shuffling along, looking at the ground. And they may as well have a big sign over their head saying victim, right? And what I'm getting at is you don't have to be a big bodybuilder, martial artist, skinhead, thug. You just have to carry yourself a certain way and have that confidence that you're in the right and that you will not be messed with. And you see, when you get that mindset, it starts to appear in the way you carry yourself, and people pick up on it. People pick up on it. I walk around, mate. I'm not a nasty guy. I walk around, but no one gives me any trouble. No one gives me any trouble.
Rick, it's exactly like walking into a bar.
What am I doing? I'm just, you know what I mean?
You walk into a bar with confidence. You know, back in the day, if you recall back, those nights that you walked into a bar of confidence and you had people flocking all over you, that's because of the confidence. And you translate that into the real world. People inspired by it.
Yeah.
You know, again, anybody,
this applies to anybody out there.
Anything.
It's not about being a big, tall, strong guy or girl or a fitness fanatic or big muscles or anything like that. It's a mindset.
If
you can develop that mindset, it translates into the way you carry yourself, and people just know I need to treat this person with a little bit of respect, or they ain't going to be no pushover, so I'm going to have to tread carefully around that one. Are they going to leave you alone and go looking for easy pickings? So that's what I'm trying to say. Get the mindset, guys and girls, the mindset. You need to develop that mindset. Trust me, it works. Trust me, it works. But we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's look at some of the stuff you've been posting up about what's happening around the world. Undertakers running out of coffins, things happening here and there. Let's look at that when we come back after these short ads here on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
How many of you remember Leslie Stahl's sit-down interview with President Trump in 2020 on 60 Minutes? It was one of the most disrespectful presidential interviews I've ever seen. Interruptions, confrontations. As Newsbusters points out, it included her dismissal of the Hunter Biden laptop. When Trump brought it up, she whined, "No, come on, you're exaggerating." But on this past Sunday show, Stahl gleefully interviewed the president of Iran. She informed her audience that she was told how to dress, not to sit before he did, and not to interrupt him. No problem for Stahl, who was anxious to tout the terror regime's attention to religious tradition and called them one of the most westernized countries in the Middle East. She marveled at a mall, which she said could be anywhere in America, with a food court and sexy window displays. She then admitted that the Iranian president just signed a decree making women who don't dress modestly subject to arrest. Look, the left-wing media's love of murderous dictatorships is nothing new. Stahl is just keeping the tradition alive. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Negotiations on new rules for dealing with future pandemics have begun at the World Health Organization, WHO. The first meeting of an intergovernmental negotiating body took place behind closed doors on the 24th of February 2022. The UN Health Agency's 194 member countries were represented. It will be backed by a Washington-led effort to build a global pandemic prevention fund hosted by the World Bank. Among the suggested proposals for the pact is the sharing of data and genome sequences of emerging viruses and rules on equitable vaccine distribution.
Child labor and toxic leaks, the price we pay for a greener future. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, you were talking earlier on about a year ago, construction, so on and so forth. People didn't do it, they're dead. One of my closest friends, my inner sanctum, all right, one of the inner sanctum, the inner circle, of which there's about three or four, he sends me messages through the day giving me updates. He's out and about. He's in the construction business. He's unjabbed and he's a warrior. So literally 2 minutes ago, another construction worker I work with just had a heart attack, had to get two stints. He's now out of the game. He's messaging me, I would say once a week, at least once a week, to say, This dude's just died. This dude's just took a heart attack. They're all between 40 and 50, young-ish men, strong, fit guys, because if you work construction, you got to be fit and strong. That's a fact. They're all starting to take heart attacks. Now, this guy's had one. Two stints in. I'm not going to name the name, obviously. He's now out of the game. The doctors have said to him, you can't go back to that job again. Now, this guy's self-employed, all right? He's self-employed. And he's just been told, you can't go back to work doing your job. That's it. Sit at home. And oh, what about the money? What about the mortgage? Well, you can't work. So just sit there, all right? Get your $60 a week in benefits, and good luck with that one. That's backing up what you were saying earlier on.
Exactly.
I literally just got that through 2 minutes ago.
This is what's happening, Rick. And I mean, maybe, you know, some people don't understand, you know, 16%, 17%, doesn't sound that much, you know, but let me just put it this way to you. That means that every family of five has lost a person. I mean, is that what you need to hear to make you wake up? So that's one out of every five family. Look, some families have got eight. So we're talking one and a half of your family's gone. But this is, and then we're only, you know, 12 to 16 months in, Rick. And what we believe is happening is you're seeing the cancers are on the rise. All other ailments, MS, MND, I've heard as well, Alzheimer's. What it's doing, it's from what we're seeing, and again, I'm not a doctor, but it's bringing out, it's cooking the immune system, that anything that you may have been predisposed to is now coming out. And as I said, 16 months, Rick, 12 months, mate, you wait till 2-3 years. I was having a discussion yesterday with a good friend of mine, Eliza, and she was telling me she has some friends that are healers and stuff. He reckons he's seen some shocking stuff, crazy stuff, man. Just people completely cooked from the vaccine. And, you know, I've also got another friend who's she's a psychic. She reckons she can't even read the people anymore. She reckons they're black. I know that sounds crazy, mate.
I have a...
it's not funny, Rick.
You put a post up about an undertaker, right? New Zealand, Peter, a funeral industry worker. This is on your page. You retweeted this out from somebody called Cat A. Okay, so last month, which is the month of August, the sales of caskets, you know, the old box that they put you in to lower you into the ground, are 40% above our budget. All I know from my experience in the funeral industry is there's a lot more deaths happening than should be. So you remember a year and a half ago, everyone panicked and went out and bought toilet roll, and you couldn't get toilet roll anyway. Mate, this time next year, they may not even have enough bloody coffins to put them. They might be putting people in body bags and just chucking them into the ground. All joking aside, the undertakers are absolutely chock-a-block. I'm trying to get one on the show at the minute, and he said, listen, mate, I'm sorry, I would love to come on, but I can't speak to anyone before like 7 p.m. at night. 7 days a week, morning, noon, and night, I'm embalming people, I'm burying people. It's nuts. He said, I can't stop. It's just incessant. Dude around the corner, funeral director, he's extended his
built
three times in a year, and it's like an industrial complex. I'm going to take a picture of it later and send it to you. I keep talking about this guy. He's going to bury me. Ronnie Thompson, big salute to Ronnie Thompson. Ronnie sold the business last year, right, when he was 79, and they're so damn busy, they've begged them to come back and help with all the funerals because they can't cope with the corpses going through that place, my friend. And they've even, do you know what they've bought? They've bought two black horses and a big wagon, old-fashioned style, because there's now a big demand for old-fashioned funerals. And now, when I'm going up and down the street, I hear clip-clop, clip-clop, clip-clop. It's the horses carrying the dead, man. It's crazy. It's like the great bubonic plague all over again.
Rick, and we're not even at the start. As we said, you know, this is just the beginning. I don't know, but from what I'm seeing, I guarantee we're going to get to about 40%, 50%.
Easy.
Like this is, and this is looking back now, Rick, you know, when you go and look at the Spanish flu and all those numbers, I've got to ask the question. It's the same script. All this happened after the vaccine. So you know what the Spanish flu? Again, similar story. They said there was a flu. They released a vaccine. I've heard some stories that they gave it to some of the troops. The troops went overseas. The troops spread it. It's, again, it's the same story. The pandemic is caused by the alleged cure. And I think we're seeing exactly the same now. And I don't know how long they can hold off till they pull this product, but geez, I feel for the people, Rick. I feel for the ones that got coerced. I don't feel for the ones that happily took it and didn't listen to it, no. Our advice, but no. For the ones that were pushed and did it out of, you know, fear of losing their jobs.
A lot of people were bullied, man. A lot of people were bullied, and I do feel for them. Or maybe their mother was dying in another state and they weren't allowed access unless they took the job. It's like, what did I do? Make a stand or let my mother die alone in a hospital bed? A lot of people were put in very bad positions. Something else you put up there. By the way, you can follow Ed on at Rise Up and Resist, at Rise Up and Resist on Twitter, but it'll show up as Rise Melbourne, and also on Instagram as well, same handle. Last year, December 2021, Biden warns the unvaccinated, that's us, by the way, you and me, of a winter of severe illness and death. Well, guess what, Joe? A year has passed and me and the Coopster are still going, and Jeff is still alive in the studio, and everyone is alive and we're still broadcasting, and none of us have died, but I know who is dying, and it sure as hell ain't you and me.
It's crazy. I mean, all the people that I know that have taken it, either themselves or one of their partners or a relative, every single person that I know has someone that's been affected by it. And, you know, again, it's we're in Australia, we're only 12 months in, and some people are up to their fourth shot. I spoke to an auntie the other day of mine, and I warned her after the second shot. I told her about all the side effects. And she said to me she was not going to take it again. I spoke to her only 4 days ago. She's up to four, mate. And you know what she said? I said, why? I told you it's dangerous. She said, because her husband had cancer. And I said, oh, dude, I didn't want to tell her it's going to make his cancer worse. He already had terminal cancer and he beat it somehow. And now I don't know how long he's got now. Another cousin of mine had kidney cancer. He's actually about to get his fifth, Rick. He doesn't want to know about it.
The worst wicked thing is, right? The people
they're going after the people that were sick.
They're going after the weak and the vulnerable and the immunocompromised. So even in the UK, they've pulled it now for kids up to 15. So if you're under 15, you're not allowed to get it. In Denmark, if you're under 50, they've pulled the shot, and they've said the only exception is if you're immunocompromised or seriously ill. So in other words, the only people that can get it are the ones that absolutely should not be getting it. But they've pulled the plug in Denmark. And I think you'll find that as this avalanche, or this 15% you talk about, goes to 20, goes to 25, it's 55% in Iceland and rising. And it's like inflation, right? Inflation's just going up like 45 degree angle. That's what this death rate's going to be going at. And eventually they're going to have to say, we need to stop this or there's going to be nobody left.
And I think we're close to that. I think we're close to that, Rick. And I've shown a couple of clips. I reckon we're about 2 months away to 3 months tops. That's why you're going to start to see the last push now of the vaccine. It's going to get pulled. You can see, I don't know if you've noticed, a lot of articles are now coming out and they're peer-reviewed studies. They're letting them get out into the open. They're not deleting you if you tweet it. They're ready to start to pull back the narrative, because, as we've said 100 times, they're going to have to come to a stage where they say, look, we tried our best. We didn't force you. We stuffed up. And people accept it. So there's going to be no riots. But if they keep going and they keep lying and they keep pushing, then you'll start to see people, you know, who might have lost a couple of family members, they're going to hit the streets without a shadow of a doubt. So they're going to have to pull it back. And you'll see that starting to happen now.
You had the like of Brett Sutton not so long ago. He recorded himself feeling very sorry for himself and put it out there to say, you know what, we were under serious pressure in the government. We didn't know what to do. We just love Australia. We love the people. We just wanted to protect you. Maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we should have done more. But we were just trying. Ed, we were just trying. We were just trying to keep you alive. We were just trying to do our best. And in fact, in reality, he's a dirty rat, as are most of these people who knew full rightly right from the start what was going to happen here, because the animals that they tested this on all died. So what did they do? Move straight to humans. And in the latest Omicron so-called Omicron booster / injection. Pfizer even said, we've only tested this on 8 mice. That's it. No human trials. And still people are lining up to get it. Listen, I don't know about you, but, you know, I don't know if you eat burgers, but if there was a new burger launched and said, you know, what's in it? Don't ask any questions. We fed it to a few mice. That's about it.
You
eight of
it.
Them. And, you know, don't ask any questions. What would you do? You say, well, give me one. Give me a double with fries. You need to have your head examined. But listen, I need to have my bloody head examined. This whole world's doing my brain in. But it's all good. It's good to talk to you. Good to unload a little bit. Get it off our chest. Throw it out there for the people to mull over and digest. Ed, we're up to time. Thank you, sir. As always, you're a blessing. A blessing, I tell you, for the show. That was Ed Cooper from Melbourne. I'll be back after the news with Dr. Urmi Ray from Paris, France, here live, locked and loaded on TNT Radio.